In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today is the feast of Saint Calixtus, and he was the Pope, that is, the leader of the Church in the 3rd century. He is best remembered that he took good care that Christians of Rome could have a proper burial place, and the cemetery which he took care of is even today called the Cemetery of Saint Calixtus, and this might have been the first piece of land the Church ever owned. It was also in his peaceable reign as Pope that the Christians first began to build churches, which were, though, demolished in the succeeding persecutions. I wanted to emphasize you today, children, the importance of keeping holy our sacred churches, where holy sacrifice of the Mass is celebrated, and how important it is to act with reverence and dignity in the Church. And since the popes wear as their outdoor papal shoes made of plain red Morocco leather, our today's story is called The Red Shoes. There was once a little girl named Karen, very nice and very pretty, but so poor that she had to go barefooted all summer. An old shoemaker lady took some old scraps of red cloth and did her best to make them into a little pair of shoes. The first time Karen wore her new red shoes was on the very day when her dear mother was buried. Of course, they were not right for mourning, but red shoes were all she had, so she put them on and walked barelegged after the coffin. She was adopted by an old lady in the village, and Karen was sure that this happened because she wore red shoes, but the old lady said the shoes were ugly and ordered them burned. Karen was given proper new clothes. She was taught to read and she was taught to sew, but because people told how pretty she was and how good she looked, she started to become vain. It then happened that the queen came traveling through the country with her little daughter, who was a princess. Karen went with all the people who flocked to see them at the castle. The little princess, all dressed in white, came to the window to let them admire her. She wore a pair of splendid red Morocco shoes, like the popes wear, only, of course, lot smaller. They were much nicer than the ones the old mother shoemaker had put together for Karen. When Karen was old enough to be confirmed, new clothes were made for her, and she was to have new shoes. They went to the house of a thriving shoemaker, and among the shoes there was a pair of red leather ones, which were just like those the princess had worn. How perfect they were! The shoemaker said he had made them for the daughter of a count, but that they did not quite fit her. As the shoes fitted Karen, the old lady bought them, but because she had poor vision, she had no idea they were red. If she had known that, she would never have let Karen wear them to confirmation, which is just what she did. In the church, every eye was turned toward Karen's feet. When she walked up the aisle to the sanctuary of the church, it seemed to her as if even the images of saints fixed their eyes upon her red shoes. She could think of nothing else, even when the bishop laid his hands upon her head and spoke of her holy baptism and her duty as a Christian. The solemn organ rolled, the children sang sweetly, but Karen thought nothing except her red shoes. Before the afternoon was over, the old lady had heard from everyone that their shoes were red. She told Karen it was naughty to wear red shoes in church, highly improper. In the future, she was always to wear black shoes to church, even though they were her old ones. Next Sunday, there was the first Holy Communion. Karen looked at her black shoes. She looked at her red ones. She kept looking at her red ones until she put them on. At the church door they met an old soldier who stood with a crutch and wore a long red beard. He bowed down to the ground and asked the old lady if he might dust her shoes, and Karen put out her little foot too. "Oh, what beautiful shoes for dancing," the soldier said. "Never come off when you dance," he told the shoes, as he tapped the sole of each of them with his hand. The old lady gave the soldier a penny and went on into the church with Karen. All the people then there stared at Karen's red shoes, and all the saints stared too. When Karen knelt at the altar rail, and even when the host was put to her tongue, she could think only of her red shoes. She also forgot to say the Apostles' Creed. Then church was over, and that night there was a big dance event in town. Karen could not resist and went to the ball and began dancing. But once she began, her feet keep on dancing. It was as if the shoes controlled her. When she tried to turn to the right, the shoes turned to the left. When she wanted to dance up the ballroom, her shoes danced down. They danced down the stairs into the street and out through the gate of the town. Dance she did, and dance she must, straight into the dark woods. It was most dreadful by night. She danced over an unfenced graveyard. She tried to sit on a pauper's grave where the bitter fennel grew, but there was no rest or peace for her there. And when she danced toward the open doors of the church, she saw it guarded by an angel with long white robes and wings that reached from his shoulders down to the ground. His face was grave and stern, and in his hand he held a broad, shining sword. "Dance you shall," the angel told her. "Dance in your red shoes until you are pale and cold. Dance you shall from door to door, and wherever there are children, proud and vain, you must knock at the door till they hear you and are afraid of you." "Have mercy upon me," Karen screamed, but she did not hear the angel answer. Her shoes swept her out through the gate and across the fields, along highways and byways, forever and always dancing. She was all alone in the world now and cursed by the angel of God. She danced across the wastelands until she came to a lonely little house. She knew that this was where the executioner lived, and she tapped with her finger on his window pane. "Come out," she called. "Come out. I can't come in, for I am dancing." The executioner said, "You don't seem to know who I am. I strike off the heads of bad people, and I feel my axe beginning to quiver. Do not strike off my head, for then I could not repent of my sins," said Karen, "but strike off my feet with the red shoes on them." She confessed her sin, and the executioner struck off her feet with the red shoes on them. Then he made wooden feet and a pair of crutches for her. He also taught her a hymn that prisoners sing when they are sorry for what they have done. When the other people went to the church next Sunday, all wondered where Karen was. The others went to hear the word of God, but she went to her lonely room. She sat with her missal in her hands, and as she read it with a contrite heart, she heard the organ roll. The wind carried the sound from the church to her window. Her face was wet with tears as she lifted it up and said, "Help me, O Lord." Then the sun shone bright, and the white-robed angel stood before her. He was the same angel she had seen that night at the door of the church. But he no longer held a sharp sword. In his hand was a green branch covered with roses. He touched the ceiling with it. There was a golden star where it touched, and the ceiling rose high. He touched the walls, and they opened wide. She saw the deep-toned organ. She saw the statues and images of the saints. She saw the congregation sit in flower-decked pews. Either the church had come to the poor girl in her room, or it was she who had been brought to the church. Karen sat in the pew. The organ sounded and the children in the choir sang softly and beautifully. Clear sunlight streamed warm through the window, right down to the pew where Karen sat. She was so filled with the light of it, and with joy and with peace, that her heart broke. Then Karen's soul traveled along the shaft of sunlight to heaven, where no one questioned her about the red shoes. So you see, children, angels of God are watching how you are acting in the church. Make sure you don't need to suffer punishment for your bad behavior in church, but that at the moment of your death, your guardian angel might present you also a beautiful green branch covered with roses. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,